This morning, aren't you glad that we're in the Lord's army? Wow, what a good song to go with the message also, huh? The armor of God. You know, it's so good to be in the house, so good to have the opportunity to come and to give him praise and honor and to receive whatever he has for us this morning. The Torah last night was so powerful. You know, it was powerful in many, many ways. It was very inspirational because Sister Dawn read part of the Torah last night. I was sitting down in the front, and Brother Chad comes to me and he said, "Who's talking?" And I said, "Well, Brother Troy is scheduled to speak." He said, "Because Sister Dawn says she's reading the seventh bowl," and that was the last. That was one of the last readings, was the seventh bowl. You know, and it just goes what it was, and you know, as she was sitting there, as she begins to read, you just sit there and you're thinking, and you're kind of fighting back the tears, because it's amazing. It's amazing for one thing that God, we serve a God that's not distinctive. When he plays something on your heart for you to do it, just obey. And that's what she did. She was obedient, and it was just, I tell you, it was awesome. You just had to have been here. I couldn't wait to get home. I went home, told my wife. I called Munla. I said, "Munla, Sister Dawn wrote the Torah." She's like, "You kidding me? Did anybody record it?" And I'm like, "No, we didn't record it. We didn't film it. I don't know if... Did you record it?" "No." And I'm like, she said, "Well, did anybody do the little live or record thing?" I'm like, "No, we didn't do nothing." I said, "But man, it was just powerful. It was awesome to see her get up and do it." And it was like seven verses and read it. And it was powerful. And I just thank you for that, Sister Dawn, for being obedient, you know. So we're going to continue this morning on the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, I'm going to read the text. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints." So the two things we're going to talk about this morning is we're going to talk about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and taking up the shield of faith. You know, he says for us to put on this armor. But there's one thing that he said that we would have to do, and that's what the shield of faith is, to take it up. We have to take up that shield of faith. It says Roman soldiers wore heavy military sandals. These soles were made of several layers of leather with iron nails protruding underneath for greater traction on rugged ground. And you might say, "Well, what's... sandals? Why? I mean, why is this so important? To prepare our feet with peace." You know, as they were prepared for battle, you know, they wasn't with these nails. It was to have a firm grip on the rough. They wasn't fighting on grass, you know, and that's the least thing that they wanted to think about was worrying about where they stepping at. So they drove these nails to the bottom of these sandals. They wasn't fighting on like grass. You know, it was hard ground. So anywhere peace is lacking, the enemy is at work. It says peace is always at or near the top of the list that the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. Ephesians 6:15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How do you put these shoes of peace? How do you put on the shoes of peace? Well, let's look in Philippians 4, 6, and 9, what Paul tells us right here. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence in any, if any worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So to put on the shoes of peace, we have to do what is honorable, what is right, what is true, and what is pure. In Colossians 3, 15, 16, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teachings, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with thankfulness. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect. I'm not going too fast, huh? I tend to do that. I tend to just start reading and I know I got to slow down a little bit. So Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. These shoes of peace can take us to places we thought we would never see in our lifetime if we wear them. We got to wear them. You know, when Pastor did the, when the word of the Lord came forth to the church, that was one of the things that was said to me was that, he said so much, but he said, the demand on my life wasn't small. I wasn't thinking about this being this right here coming up. You know, I wanted to be a football player. That was my dream, so you can say. But, you know, this is where he took me. This is where he took me right here in my lifetime. But he said, the demand on your life is not small. He said, you can't be afraid of it. He said, you have been groomed and picked, not by me, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, as you study the word, you know, the Lord will remind you of things that the word that he gave you back when, or just different, he'll take you back to different areas of your life. And I just thank him for that reminding me. Because, you know, just starting out doing this, it still gets a little nervous sometimes. A lot of time, not sometimes. I guess you can tell sometimes my voice is a little shaky. Haven't begun sweating yet, so we all right. But, you know, just like it says, it'll take you to places that we would never see in our lifetime, but we got to put it on. We got to put it on. The Greek word for peace is irene. We can't always control the ground we are led to walk on. And this is so powerful right here. In Acts 20, 17 through 25, this is Paul right here. It says he's traveling from Miletus. He's sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to you, to both Jews and Greeks, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. It says, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. You know, he didn't have no control over that ground. All he was doing, he knew that he was obeying God. And if that's where he needed to go, that's what he was going to do. You know, now, just as this came up the other night, somebody wanted some rabbits. You know, we can't control the ground we are led to walk on. Somebody wanted some rabbits at work. So I said, okay, yeah, I can probably get you two rabbits. I'll go tonight. So I'm looking for my gun, and I got this handheld spotlight. And the battery is not fully charged, so it's kind of dying. So I go back home. I'm looking for this other gun, and I can't find it. So I'm looking for my son's 20-gauge because I can't find a 22. And I didn't want to shoot this big old 12-gauge loud at night. So I called father-in-law. I said, father-in-law, Isaac's gun's over there? He said, yeah. Okay. You got a spotlight? No. You got a bullseye? I said, no, I don't have a bullseye. I got this handheld spotlight. All right, well, come get it. It's in my truck. Go over there. Well, here we go. I knew once you call him, my intention was just to go one path, the easiest one. If I don't see no rabbits, I'm coming home. But him, you never know the ground you're led to walk on. So here we go. I see him get his boots. He said, I'm coming with you. I said, all right, well, come on. We get the spot. We get the bullseye. We going. We go down west. We used to live at the one lane. We don't see nothing. He said, let's go across the highway. I said, all right, we going. So here we are, gun in hand, running across the four lane, cars passing. We get down this, going across the four lane. Now, the four lane, I mean, when we get on the other side, I think we're just going to walk a little ways. We walk all the way to the drainage canal. Don't see no rabbit. He said, let's go through the weeds right here. He said, get on some man's property where he's at. He says, you know, we might have to, they're going to come to a ditch. We're going to have to jump the ditch, and it'll clear up. So here we go. Now it's getting foggy Wednesday night. So here we are. We're going through the rough terrain. So he called it after we done got in the truck. We going. Man, and he's like, Sean, make sure we fall in the edge of the drainage so we can find this other piece of property that we're looking for. And man, we bending down, stick of bushes. I mean, we was in some rough terrain. Led where we shouldn't be going anyway. So we finally find, after about 20 minutes later, we find this little patch of grass field that he was looking for. So now we got to walk all the way back to the full lane. Still don't see no rabbits. So what I'm saying is, you can't always control where we are led, the ground that we are led to walk on. I didn't want to do that, though. I wanted to just make this one little path, come home. I get home, it's like, man, I don't know, it was an hour, 2 hours later. My wife asked me, where you been at? I've been with your daddy hunting. You know, you already know what time of day it is when this guy here is. When you say hunting, you in for a long haul. But I had my boots on. You know, I didn't go hunting with sandals or tennis shoes. Good thing I didn't. If I would have went where I was going, yeah, I could have used that. But good thing I put boots on, because we had to get through water, jump a ditch, mud, and it was just, oh, man, I was like, whew. Gets in the truck, he says, boy, son-in-law, we walked far. We walked through some rough terrain. I said, yeah, we did, father-in-law, rough terrain. But, you know, as we're going through this, it just, as we walk, and he's saying, talking about rough terrain, that's what they did, you know, with my message. That's how the soldiers walked. They wasn't walking through rough ground. They walked through rough terrain, but they had the right armor on to do what they was doing. So it was an adventure, but we made it. Thank God. Christian soldiers must be able to hold their ground and not flee or surrender under Satan's attacks. We can have peace by following Yeshua's steps. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and not being built up in him, and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you was instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Therefore, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, Paul speaking, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to pursue the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, there's a certain manner that we have to walk. There's a certain way that we have to, I want to say prostrate ourselves, but there's a certain way that we have to keep ourselves, you know, as being a soldier for the Lord. You know, you just can't walk any which way you want to walk. You know, there's a certain way that you have to carry yourself. First John 2, 6, the ones who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. To walk in the same manner as Christ walked. How does these spiritual shoes help us to stand firm? John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Psalms 119, 165. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Romans 5, 1 through 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. It says, and not only this, but we also in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, we're going to have tribulations. That's just the way it is. But we got to know that we got the peace that passes all understanding. No matter what we're going to face. And, you know, it's going to be some serious things that we're going to face. Because that's what the word says. Tribulations. We're going to face it, but we have peace. We have peace. Ephesians 2:17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstances, that the Lord be with you all. Whatever we're going to face, he grants us peace. If we just stay true to his law, stay true to his word. It says, through God's word, you can proclaim peace. You can proclaim freedom and peace over your own circumstances and even the lives of those who love you. Matthew 7:7 says, knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it will be given. That's how we can proclaim peace over not only us, but our families. All we got to do is ask. All we got to do is ask. It says, when those shoes are God's shoes, his footprints will start showing up everywhere you step. Peace with Yahweh is the answer. Only the peace of God can offer the anchoring, grounding, and security we need. Only the peace of God can give us that. The shield of faith. Boy, I'm rolling through this. Ephesians 6:16. And this is the part I was talking about when he quoted the armor, that this is the armor that he told us that's something that we have to do, that we have to take it up. It says, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, this shield, a Roman shield, it wasn't just no round little bitty shield that we might think of or that we might see on TV when we see a soldier fighting. This shield was about 2 foot wide and like 4 foot tall. That way, and I had an image that I was trying to save. I did save it. Don't ask me where I saved it at because I couldn't find it. But it was a pretty cool one because it was that size and it showed a soldier kneeling down behind it, crouching down behind it, and it has like some fiery darts just hitting it and it was extinguishing it. But this shield that the soldiers carried, it was wrapped with leather and it had iron on it. It was a serious shield that they carried. It wasn't just no little round Captain America shield. It was a shield. Proverbs 35. It says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Every word will be tested. Proverbs 35, it said, God keeps every promise he makes. He is like a shield for all who seek his protection. God keeps every promise. You know, he keeps every word. If he gave you a word long ago, just have faith that he's going to see it. And that it'll come through. Because that's what the scripture says. He said, God keeps every promise he makes. He is like a shield for all who seek his protection. Yahweh's loyalty, integrity, and faithfulness are unmatched. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. It's nobody else that could protect us from that evil one. Nobody else. But Yahweh is faithful to do that. He's faithful to protect us. I thank him for his faithfulness. You know, we may fail each other, but he will never, ever, ever fail us. Deuteronomy 7:9. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations and with those who love him and keep his commandments. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Luke 17:6. And the Lord said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, we don't need this big, huge, I don't know how you would try to explain the kind of faith that we need, that, you know, our minds might want to think that we need. But that's not what his word tells us. He says faith the size of a mustard seed. And that's, a mustard seed is small. It's not big at all. So we don't need this extraordinary faith like, oh, we need faith, more faith, more faith, more faith. No. Faith like a mustard seed. You will say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Matthew 17:20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible to you. You know, and you go back, you know, you see all the, like Daniel, the faith in Daniel, the faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, they built this big old idol, gold thing, and he, you know, whenever the music played, they wanted them to start bowing down and worshiping. But there was three Jews, they said, that they went and tell on. They went and tell on them. Three Jews don't want to bow when you hear that, when they hear that music, you know. And he called for them. He said, "Now I'm gonna give y'all a chance. Y'all gonna bow when you hear this music." And they said, "For, because if you don't, you're gonna be thrown in this fire." And they said, he said, for what God can save y'all? Big mistake. What God? So, hey, played the music. Nope. No bowing down. Heat that bad boy up seven times hotter. Seven times. He said, so who's going to save y'all now? He said, King, we will not bow. He said, because our God will save us. But if he don't, he's still God no matter what. No matter what. Threw him up in there. First, when he said that, he got real mad. He called for like three of his best guys, handpicked guys, to throw him up in there. They died just by the, from the heat. Put him in there. They walking. He looks over there. He sees four of them walking around. He called and said, didn't we put three? They said, yeah, we put three of them in there. He said, well, I see four. Man, he said they come out of there, didn't even smell like smoke. Their hair was not even singed. So right then and there, he knew that, that their God was the God. Yahweh was the one. So just that faith, that type of faith, that they was willing to die so that they wouldn't have to show honor to no other God but their God. But they knew that their God was going to save them. In Hebrews 12:1-3, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. He knew going to that cross when he was praying. He said, Father, this cup could pass me. He said, not my will, but thy will. He knew. He said, they're going to crucify me, but I know one thing. My faith in you is that you said in 3 days, you're going to raise me up. He was the perfecter of faith, the author and perfecter of faith. You know, I tell you what, when you study, I'm telling you, you think of all the stories way back when, and, you know, Abraham getting ready to kill his son. The Lord told him, take him up, bring him over there, get the wood, you know, and little bitty old Isaac. I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? He said, the Lord will provide. You know, and God was just testing his faith right there. He was just testing to see what he would do. And he was about to do it. He said he knew one thing, that if he would kill him, Yahweh would have to raise him up, because he promised him. He promised him. He gave him a promise. It says, faith allows to see the unseen and believe the unbelievable. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world were prepared by the word of God, so that when it is seen what was not made out of things which were visible. By faith we understand that the world was made by... None of us seen God made this world, this universe. But we know that he's the one who did. We didn't see it, but we know we have his word that tells us that he did. Believing the unbelievable. Faith intensifies and magnifies our gifts and abilities. It says, Psalms 138, 1 through 3. It says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I call, you answer me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. Exercising our faith will make it stronger. You know, exercising our faith, that means when we're going through something, to know who is the author and finisher of our faith. To knowing that whatever we're going through, if we stay true to him and faithful, we're going to be victorious. And we have to exercise that. Psalms 37, 3 through 5, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So in order to please him, we got to have faith. We got to have faith in order to please God. Because that's what we want to do. You know, we want to please him in everything we do. Faith heals. Mark 5:34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, we all know this story. And I have it in Matthew. I'm going to read here in a little while. You know, 12 years. That's a long time. 12 years. But she knew one thing, that if she just pushed through, she had enough faith to know that all she had to do was just touch that garment and she was going to be healed. Matthew 9, 1 through 2. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city, and they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, your son, your sins are forgiven. And this is the Matthew 9, 20 through 22. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. She didn't just the bottom. She didn't grab it. She just touched the bottom. For she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well. Matthew 9, 27 through 29. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him and said to him, "Do you believe?" And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And they said their eyes was open. You know, it was just, this is just scriptures on them, people acting out, putting into motion their act of faith, knowing that Yeshua could heal them. God is faithful to his word. If he said it, he's going to do it. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 12. It says, Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See that I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "I see a rod of an almond tree." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it." You know, if he said it, he's going to do it. We just have to stay faithful to him, because he is going to do what he said he's going to do. We just have to do our part. Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" A couple more. Isaiah 55:8-11. You know, these are all verses that he is faithful to his word. And in Isaiah 55:8-11, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And last one, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So my word, which goes forth from my mouth, will not return empty." You know, so whatever word that the Lord has given you, just, hey, keep the faith. Keep believing that he will do what his word said he will do. If he said it, like you said, he's not a man that he could lie. He will see it through. You know, it takes our faith, an act of our faith, to know that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And that's all I have. I thank y'all for coming this morning, you know, and taking part in letting me share the word of the Lord with you. We're going to continue, and we have two more We got the helmet to talk about and praying always for the saints. Praying always. I mean, that's so powerful how we need to pray. Lift each other up every day. Every day we need to lift each other up in prayer. Every day we need to put the armor on. Not just some days, because the enemy don't just attack some days. You know, he's going to attack you every day. Every day he's going to hit you with something. But, you know, we have the armor that he gives us in his word to protect us. And I thank him for it. I thank him for the armor. So let's stand. And Brother Herman, would you dismiss? Let's not forget the announcement.